Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I'm going to share with you a few verses here up front, and you're going to very quickly pick up the theme this morning. And want to take these few moments and share with you this morning from God's Word. In Matthew chapter 9, there's two blind men. And this is kind of a pun, but not really. These two blind men come to see Jesus. Okay? I mean, literally, this is what happens. They come, and they need him to heal them of their blindness, their physical blindness. That's what they're asking, and it's what they believed for, and it's why they came to him in that moment and yelling out, you know, have mercy on me. And Jesus connects with them, and he says to them, your faith has healed you. On another occasion in Matthew chapter 8, and I will tell you that Matthew chapter 8, all the chapters are great. I hate to say Matthew chapter 8 is just a great chapter, but it is. It's just another great chapter. And in Matthew chapter 8, if you were to look at verse 1, it talks about Jesus coming down from the mountainside and a leper comes and kneels before him and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What an expression of faith. To come to Jesus, recognize who he is, come to him on the basis of who he is and not on the basis of who the leper is. See, our humanity tangles us up sometimes when we're trying to express faith. We start looking at, am I righteous enough? Do I deserve it? Have I gone to church enough? Or I got a really bad history? And we start making this expression of faith all about us. And that's our humanity coming in and contaminating and limiting faith. When what we're supposed to be doing is looking at the person of Jesus and who he is. That's when faith just explodes. It's not confined by our human thinking and measuring ourselves. It's about who he is, measuring him. He's the Son of God. He's without sin. This is about him. I have the need, but it's about his power. I can't help me. I can't heal myself. It's about him, the healer. Don't let your faith, when you're expressing faith and trying to express faith and, you know, working so hard at trying to have faith, listen, stop measuring yourself. This is about who he is. And he's full of mercy and he's full of grace. And I want you to know, I don't know that there's any of us that measure up or deserve some kind of healing from him. We're flawed. We were born flawed. We've lived flawed. But we have come to faith in Christ, born again of the Spirit, still, you know, learning and growing and stumbling and getting picked up and, you know, getting renewed and getting restored. And, you know, we still got a little bit of a flawed history, but it's about the one who makes us new, the one who has the power and the authority and the dominion over sin and sickness, over your sin, my sin, our sickness, stuff that's comes into our life, stuff that we bring into our life. This is about him. You look at these people, they had a need, but they were recognizing who Jesus was. You go on in Matthew chapter 8, and you'll come to a point where you'll see a centurion come to Jesus and say, I have got a servant at home who is paralyzed. If you will, you know, give the word, if you will come and touch him, if you will, I know that they will be healed. And I'm paraphrasing here. And Jesus responds with this. He says, may it be as you have believed. as you have believed. May it be unto you as your faith has it. Wow. These answers that Jesus is giving to some of these people. If you were to move to Mark chapter 10, another man, Bartimaeus, who was blind, he hears Jesus is passing by. Son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to keep him quiet. And he just yelled all the more. He finally got up, left the carpet, rug, mat that he had that was woven in a special pattern that was his license for him to beg. He left it behind while he was still blind. Oh. Leaving behind what we find our security in to say, I have enough faith that Jesus, the person who he is, will give me greater security than what I've been hanging on to. You see, that mat, him leaving that mat was very important. That wasn't just leaving behind a possession. That mat had a pattern in it that was recognized that he was licensed to beg. That he could call out for alms. And he left it behind while he was still blind on his way to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? And blind Bartimaeus says, I'm blind. I want you to heal me. And Jesus replies to blind Bartimaeus, go on your way. Your faith has made you whole. Made you well. Your faith. I want you to know that the contrary is true. If you look at Mark chapter 6 or Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is at a place where it says that he was amazed at their lack of faith. He could do very few miracles among them. He did very few miracles among them because they lacked. Say it. Say it. You all know the answer now. You might as well say it. They lacked faith. Here Jesus is giving in different scenarios. May it be unto you as your faith has seen it. As you have believed. Go on your way. You're healed. You believed. And in another place, very few miracles would he do because there was a lack of faith. Now, I don't want us to get the idea this morning that I'm talking just about faith on the basis of need. In other words, life has dealt us something bad, or we brought something on ourselves, or it was a generational thing, and something horrific or bad has come into my life, and now we need faith for God to deliver us, to heal us, to show up in the face of what we see as an impossibility that we just can't undo ourselves. That faith is important, and we've given reference to it. But I also want you to consider this morning the kind of faith that doesn't just express itself when something bad or difficult comes into our life, but the kind of faith that steps up to the line and says, what am I doing in my life to face impossibility that if God doesn't show up, this will never be accomplished or done? Now I want to talk about a faith that has a proactive initiative rather than just engaging when something difficult comes into our life. But exercising a faith in the face of impossibility. You know, it's an interesting thing about impossibility. The absence of faith makes it impossible to ever do anything that's impossible. Think about that. The absence of faith makes it impossible for impossibility to become possible. The absence of faith. It makes the impossible exist. Where in our life, where in my life, does faith show up that goes beyond our human ability, talents, and skills? Listen, all of us in this room, we really like life when everything in our life we can solve ourselves. We have the ability, we have the skill, we have the talent, we have the know-how, we've learned something, or it's a natural gift, whatever it is, and we like that, oh, this shows up, I can solve this. A job opportunity comes up. Well, I could do that job. You see, we like to operate life like that. And so the only time we're really exercising faith is when a circumstance or situation comes into our life. And now, oh, we got to have faith. What about the faith where we move to something and do something that's beyond our capability or our ability or our skill or our talent? And the talents which God has given you and I, and they should be used, and we know they come from Him. But we quickly just use those gifts and talents and solve it ourselves. And I think that when that is required, I think that's a great thing to do. It's why He gave us these things. But what about initiating and stepping up to a line that requires us to express faith to do something or accomplish something or give of ourselves in some way that if God doesn't show up or, you know, then it just will never happen? What about that kind of faith that engages us by the sheer decision and will before the Lord? I'm not talking about presumption and assumption. I'm talking about having something on the table in discussion between you and the Lord that says, what about this? Or show me this. Or call me to something. I want to do something. This dream I have, this desire I have, I want you to be glorified, but this is not something I can do on my own. To become the living church here on earth, to express the kind of faith that steps up to the line. What about that kind of faith that for something to be done that's beyond our ability? You see, if we just depend on our talents individually or even collectively with other people, I want you to know that that's never enough. It's never enough in the face of impossibility for this reason. Hebrews 11 says this, that it is impossible to please God without faith. So if we look at that in the context of these verses and what's being said this morning, is how much pleasure are we really bringing the Lord by initiating faith in our life against impossibility, mission, or purpose, or call? I mean, it pleases Him that we are faithful for what He's given us, and that is an expression of faith. I am not minimizing that, but I am saying that if that is all the exercising of our faith in our life, is doing what we can, just being faithful to what we've been given, and that matters to God. Yes, it does. But what about the faith that steps up into what we can't handle on our own, or something beyond our natural ability or our natural tendency that we just don't seem that we can do unless God shows up? What about that faith in our life? What action are we showing in our life that can be seen, recognized, that we are believing God for a miracle or something that is impossible, that is possible with Him, and we are going to step up to the line and believe Him for it? What about that impossibility that demands a faith or it will not be done? Where is that faith operating in my life, your life, our life? Not just what's dealt to us, but what thing can we step forward with that is based upon who He is or upon His word or upon a promise or a promise that He speaks to your heart or something you speak to Him about, the desire that He's put within you that you feel a call to, that you feel a stirring about? Where's that? Where's that kind of faith activated in our life? Listen, faith is contagious. Have you ever been around somebody that you're with them and you listen to their words and you kind of catch, I don't know, We call it their personality or their countenance, but it's like the Spirit of the Lord is on them and what they say and how they act and their demeanor. And there's something about listening and being in their presence that you kind of feel like this synergy that, man, it kind of starts to raise the level of faith and desire in your life. And you just kind of, you're just like, that's what I want. There's something in your spirit that's going, yeah, this is right. This is the Lord. This is how I want to live. This is what I need. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to be. You ever been around somebody like that? Kind of lifts you in. All of a sudden, it starts to affect the way you're thinking. You're starting to think like the Spirit of the Lord or the mind of God, not just our human thinking. You're starting to read your Bible more. You're starting to pray more. You're being more faithful at church, and you're going, something's happening. You ever feel that kind of synergy around somebody? And then, you know, it usually lasts for a little while. Well, I want you to know that faith is contagious, but I want you to know the opposite is also contagious. I want you to know that pessimism is contagious. Critical spirit is contagious. Mediocrity is contagious. Status quo, wherever we just kind of settle. What are we doing in faith? You'll remember, you know, if you were to go back to Numbers chapter 13 and 14, you'll remember that Moses sent out 12 spies. You're familiar with this, most of you. If you're not, you can listen to this. This is, you know, Moses leading God's people to the promised land, and he sends over 12 spies. Go spy out the land of Canaan, the land that we're supposed to possess, the land that was promised to us by the Lord himself. And actually, it started back with God and Abraham, and God promised Abraham basically that there would be a promised land and that his seed would, you know, be like the stars of the sky, the sand of the sea, a great people. And this came through the Son of Promise. It came through Abraham and Sarah, their son in old age, which was a miracle. His name was Isaac. And as time goes on with God's people, you get to where Moses now comes, takes the people out of slavery in Egypt. Pharaoh lets them go, then goes to pursue them and fails because God intervenes and brings them to the brink of the promised land. And Moses sends over 12 spies. 10 spies come back with a pessimistic, negative report. They looked at the circumstance, they looked at the situation, and they felt like it was stacked against them, and there's no way that we should go into the promised land because we will never go and defeat these people. But two of the spies came back, and they said, "This land is great. This land that the Lord has promised is great. We can go. God will take us. We can go and possess the land. We can conquer the people." Well, the report of the 10 began to seep through most of the people. And it's why God's people wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. Basically, a time for a generation who opposed God's promise could die and pass away. Can you name me any of the 10 spies, what their names were? Come on, give me a name. Give me just one. Okay, the two spies who brought, can you give me their names? Oh, Joshua and Caleb. Point made. Two spies agreed with the promise of the Lord's word and came regardless of circumstance, situation. They believed and gave a report that agreed with God's promise and God's word. 10 did not. They spoke against God's promise. They spoke because of circumstance and situation and fear and apprehension rather than believing God's promise. They spoke against it. None of them entered the promised land. And you can't even give me one of their names. But when I asked for the two, oh, Joshua and Caleb, because they gave a report that was based upon the promise of the Lord. You have to understand, Joshua and Caleb, before they ever crossed over and saw the land, they already knew what the report was going to be. Do you know why? Because they heard about the promise. And if the Lord promised, that land is ours. A faith that stepped up to the line, knowing that they will not conquer on their own strength, skill, or ability. They will only possess the land because God made a promise. I wonder how many times you and I, in our life, speak against God's promises. We come to a circumstance, situation in our life. We don't see how it can happen. So we come up with phrases, you know. We come up with things like, God's word says, yeah, but. Joshua and Caleb, there was no yeah, buts. This was God's promise. I'll go over and scope out the land, but I can already tell you what my vote and my report is going to be because God promised. The 10 go over and look, and it's not in our favor. I don't think we should do it. They were speaking in opposition to God's word, God's decree, God's promise. I wonder how often you and I in our life, we speak against God's leading, God's promise, God's word, God's commands, God's instruction in our life of how to deal with something. That we say, this is a problematic, and I know the Bible says this, but, you know, and now we take it into our own hands, our own talent, our own ability, and we pray about it, but I'm still going to do it my way, trusting that I prayed about it, now you'll bless it anyhow, and I can move ahead. And that we speak against his promises in our own life. Maybe collectively we speak against a promise or a vision that the Lord has given. I wonder if we come up with phrases like this. Well, you know, I prayed about it and it didn't happen. I guess it's just my cross to bear. I want you to know that that phrase is completely out of context and is not biblical. And let me tell you why. The whole mentality of, well, it's impossible, and I prayed about it, it's not gonna, I guess it's just my cross to bear. Listen, that is not what the cross is about. The cross has always been about the dying and crucifying of our flesh. The crucifying of our fleshly outlook, our fleshly thoughts, our fleshly attitude, crucifying the flesh that says, I guess it's my cross to bear. And we want everybody to know, and it's so hard. And I prayed about it. I'm being spiritual. I guess I just got to endure. Listen, that is not a cross to bear. The cross is where we crucify ourselves. That says, I am going to believe God's promise and God's word, and I'm going to live in accordance with it until I see the manifestation of it, or until he takes me home. That my faith will outlive my lifetime here. To step up and exercise faith in the face of impossibility rather than just saying, well, it's impossible and, you know, it's just my cross. The cross was not meant for you to bear like that. The cross was meant for you and I to get on it and die to ourselves and come into agreement with God and his word and speak directly into his promises and agree with him instead of being pessimistic and negative and oppose his promise and his word in our life. Listen, the cross is about crucifying your thoughts and coming into agreement with his. And when he makes a promise, he is a keeper of the promise. And no man, no committee, no board, no people group, no family member, nobody else can stop it. He promised. Now, do not get caught in wishful promising. Well, in other words, Lord, I prayed to you about this, and since I prayed to you about it, therefore you're going to do it. And then we step out in presumption and assumption, get ourselves in trouble, and we call it faith. Just because you said it and you prayed about it doesn't mean he promised it. Okay? When it comes to his word, it comes to his promises, or the revelation of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, to your life, something that he is going to do or that he is calling you to that faces impossibility, then at that point we step up to the line, we exercise faith in the face of impossibility, and we trust what he told us, no matter what circumstances come, and we start going, gee, I don't know if I heard the Lord on this, and boy, this is really hard, and oh, this is another closed door. Well, maybe I'm forcing it. No, step up to the line and come into agreement with what he says. How he's leading, how he wants to do it. Because here's the fact. Faith and works go together. You find it in James chapter 2. We are saved by faith, but because we are saved by faith, we now begin to do good works that show that our faith is sincere. We're to step up to the line, and we're to do what we're supposed to do. But understand, our talents and abilities are not what's going to get this done. Individually or collectively. It's about showing up where you're supposed to show up. It's about saying what you're supposed to say. But only God can make it happen. Only God can make it happen. Only God can make it happen. Where is that kind of faith in our life being exercised? We're exercising it with maybe with things that are thrown into our life. But what about exercising the faith that says, Lord, what are you calling me to? What? Give me another purpose. Give me an additional purpose. I want to be faithful with what you've given me, but I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a woman of faith. I want to be a child of faith. I want to be a teenager of faith. I want to be a young adult of faith. I want to be a senior citizen who is old and gray and beginning to just wrinkle a little. I'm not wearing my own teeth anymore. But this is the shell I've got, and my spirit is still alive. And I can still exercise faith. Because without faith, it is impossible for me to please the Lord. And this is about pleasing Him. This is about honoring Him. This is about being faithful to Him. This is about trusting Him beyond anxiety. It's about stepping up to the line in face of impossibility. Listen, we all here, you know, who are believers, we want to be godly. We want to be people of great faith. Listen, we never become people of great faith until impossibility shows up and demands it of us. What about you and I, instead of waiting for impossibility to come and get us, there's an exercising of faith, an ever-increasing faith, where we step up to the line, have conversation with God, and say, call me to something impossible. Call me to something greater than myself, my abilities, and my talents. That I can exercise faith there. Listen, it was about a year ago. We were at some missions meetings, and some of the board was present. They could make it to these meetings. And they were quite a ways out of town. And it was a time where they got to hear for the first time. I already heard it. I was at a meeting previous, some months before, the year before, about Africa's Hope. And when I heard this, something rang kind of true in my spirit and said, you know what? This is something I believe that we as New Life Church need to sink our teeth into. And so the following year, I invited the board, and most of them could make it. When I first came here as the pastor, they were already giving to missions. They were given a little bit to benevolent. They were faithful. Previous leadership and board, they were faithful. The church was in a good financial state and all of that. But shortly after my arrival here and meeting with the board after, you know, some time goes by, I said, listen, I am wanting you to think about something. That we would no longer set just the giving that we do based upon what we can afford. I want us to begin to do more in faith. See, if you come to me with a bill and it's for $50 and I look in my checkbook and I've got, I don't know, $633.82. And none of that is spoken for other than a little bit of gas money and grocery money till the next payday. And you present me with a bill of $50, I can write that. It's not going to hurt me. I can afford it. It took no faith, no faith, to write that check for $50. About a year ago, the board was introduced to John Easter and Africa's Hope and the vision and the passion in great detail over a couple of days, two and a half days. And at the end of that, they know I brought them there for a purpose. I want you to hear this. I believe this is something we could maybe sink our teeth into and do something significant in addition to the increased missions giving that we're already doing and the increased benevolence that we give to help people. Home missions, foreign missions, missions projects that we didn't budget for. Benevolence, helping those who need it. Here's something in addition that I believe we can sink our teeth into. Something we can maybe do significantly. And they, you know, they were thinking about this, and I've been praying about it, and some of them, I'm sure, thought to pray about this and encourage them to do so. And they got together at this meeting. And they said, yeah. And all of a sudden, they threw out a number. I was like, wow. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Lord, you're doing something on this board. In fact, it was a number that made me just a little nervous. I'm being honest with you. It's how we came to the point of giving almost $50,000 in about 2 years' time, a little over 2 years. We're finishing up that commitment. We still have about $7,000 to give. $50,000 from New Life Church. They were doing something in faith. And while we were there, and they were like, yeah, we all feel good about this number. We'll give this big chunk up front, and then we're going to do monthly installments of $500 for X amount of time to come to almost $50,000. Hallelujah. We're doing this in faith. And they picked a number that even made the pastor a little nervous. And then while we were there, a board member came to me, because there was a couple who were on the Africa's Hope staff who were going to be leaving the staff and going into missions full time. Sharp young couple. In fact, the girl I discovered, I knew her parents and her uncle. One of them was a professor of mine in university. How the world became small and how I became old. They said to me, this couple going off to missions, I think we should support them too. We already do a lot for missions. We already do a lot for demons. We are now making a commitment of almost $50,000. And now we're going to take on another couple. I was like, yeah. And I talked to the rest of the board. And they're like, yeah, let's do it. I mean, I don't know what they put in the water that day that these guys were drinking. You know, it was like, you know, drunken sailors. I don't know, you know, whatever. They were drinking something of the Holy Ghost. I'm just telling you that right now. I went over to this couple and said, hey, listen, I know you haven't started to really quite raise funds yet, but you're going and you're going to start to do that. And I know that you're going to never make it up to Wisconsin where we're at, and you don't have to come there. I just want you to know that we as a board want to support you $100 a month. And so we've been doing that for, I don't know, about a year. That's what you've been doing. Now listen to this. How many times have I come to you and asked you to put money in the offering for Africa's Hope? Tell me. None. I mean, John Easter was here, and we want to bless them. And you could give to Africa's Hope if you want. But I haven't come and said, okay, listen, church, we made this commitment, so I want you to get on board and start giving. Now, that would be the right thing to do. And in fact, in most places, most every place, that's what the pastor would come back from those meetings and do. We have simply been taking it out of general fund and giving it. We have done this in faith. We wanted to do something in faith. We needed to do something in faith. I know you're waiting for the other shoe to drop to say, okay, so now we're going to give to Africa. No. Listen, you want to give to Africa's Hope and you want to drop something in anytime, you just label it, put it on the envelope. We'll take care of it. There will be times maybe in the future where we do something in faith and in vision, and I will come to you and say, this is what we decide as a leadership to do. We'd love for you to get on board. Let's make this a priority. Let's make this a commitment above our tithes and offerings and do something and step up to faith. And we're going to, and it would be right and it would be good. I just didn't do it this time. It's not just about faith and money. I just use that as one example of what you've been a part of, how God has been faithful, how you have been faithful. And even those of us who've been unfaithful, God has still been faithful. That's who He is. He responds to faith. We've had needs around here, but you know, He just seems to be taking care of it. I mean, we made the pledge and to do all that. I mean, think about just this one item, and you've heard me touch this briefly, but you can't give pews away. Anybody who's in ministry or pastoring or full-time or in directives, offices, and all of this, even church plants who are poor and starting out, we'd like to give you pews. No, thank you. They don't want them. We're doing things in faith, and we're just, you know, trying to do our best, whatever. And we go to chairs, and we have somebody buy our pews. Only God can do that. That's just one small little way. That's just a physical thing. And we're grateful for that. But the spiritual depth and the culture and the move of the Spirit and the growing of people and the growing of your life, that you are recipients of God's blessing because we're doing something in faith. And not just like when you're here, but it extends to your life. You and I need to be faithful with where we're planted, what we've been given and what we face. And with our talents and abilities and skills and natural tendencies that God has gifted us with and to solve things and do things and know how, and that all comes from Him. And to exercise faith and faithfulness like that. But there has to be an aspect in our individual life and in the life of the church where we step up to the line and say, where is the impossibility? What are you calling me to? What do you want me to do? What goes against my natural tendencies? Where am I going to need you to show up in this impossibility that I don't see how it can be answered unless you show up? What are you calling me to? What are you calling me to give? Of resource, any resource in my life. Where am I wrestling with God and saying, where is there a purpose? Instead of me just calling out to you and trying to believe you for the stuff that's horrible and difficult that come my way, I want to step up to the line at the same time and say, what is it you're calling me to? What can I believe you for? What can I be involved in that I know is not going to be accomplished on my own efforts or collectively with other people? You have to show up. Where is that faith being expressed in my life? Your life. Our life together. Romans 10, verse 17. It says, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Whether you are dealing with exercising your faith because of things that have been problematic, that have come into your life, or that you have invited, in addition to stepping up to the line and saying, what impossibility are you calling me to? I'm asking for one. Give me one. Lord, give me something that I will have to exercise faith over. I'm not asking for trouble. I'm asking for faith. And to face an impossibility, to do something, to speak something, to give something. That either of those expressions of faith, you and I must be eating His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. Those two spies remembered the promise, God's promise, God's Word, and they fed on it, and they ate it, and it became part of them, instead of the other 10 feasting on what they saw, feasting on all the problems, feasting on all the negative things, calling it, well, that's reality. God's promise had a greater reality than the opposition that they faced. God's promise, God's word that you and I are to eat is a greater reality than the impossibility that you and I face. If you're struggling with faith, read His Word. You're wrestling to stay on top of your faith and in the face of impossibility or trouble or heartache or not knowing how to fix it. Meditate on His Word. Pray His Word. Read it more. Go beyond your devotional time. Read a chapter, two chapters. Keep reading the same verse over and over until it becomes a fabric of your spirit that empowers you to keep standing in the faith of impossibility and believing God for His Word, His commands, His way of doing things, and His promises. His Word is for you, that you will grow in faith, that impossibilities will become possible. Because that which is impossible for you is possible with God. Our faith is greater than the life we face. Stand up, please. Say the scripture verse with me. All things. All things. Come on, you got to get your preacher on. All things. Come on, Doug. All things. A little growl. Oh. Mm-hmm. Give it to me, brother. All things are possible for him, for her, who believes. That's His Word. Oh, yeah, but. There's no yeah, buts. If it is based upon His Word, which is based upon His character, and He never fails, and He has a will, and He has a purpose, He's got a plan, He's got a design, let's engage in it. Believe Him. Exercise faith when stuff comes. But simultaneously, let's step up to the line and say, what do you have for me? It's impossible for me to get up at 5 to pray longer. Have faith for it. Put some works with it. See what he does. You'll be amazed at how you start waking up at 4:45, ready to go. You watch. I'm telling you. Oh, there's still some mornings. First service. There's a grandma and her daughter. They've got no kids in the nursery, but they work in there. It's what they felt called to. And they're putting works with the faith. It would be so easy for them not to do it, right? Most of us? Because most of us are not in the nursery. Oh, thank God I'm the preacher. That I don't have to be in there, number one. Number two, you thank God that I don't have to be in there. Hey, I volunteered in nurseries when I was on staff. My kids were in there, and it was part of what Sue and I should be doing. What is God calling you to? Trust me, he's going to call you to something that your flesh is not excited about. That's normal. Oh, call me to something that my flesh is excited about. Nah, generally don't work like that because our flesh is out of line and it needs to be crucified on the cross. But our spirit is alive and he calls us to things that bring life to us and to others. And sometimes it's hard and it's impossible and it's just impossible for me to sign up for that. Why? Because I don't want to. Allow God to change you. What are you giving of your resource or time or money? I already tithe. Hey, that's great. Did you know that that's the minimum? Not the maximum. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to look at how am I going to do this? Listen, God's economy operates outside of our economy. I cannot tell you the board meetings that we have had, and we look over the financial report, and we know what was spent, we know what we gave away, we know what's coming down the pike, and we know we had to take care of this thing in the facility, and all this, and then we come back next month and go, oh, how's that number still big? I guess we should keep giving the missions. I think we should keep giving, you know, helping people in benevolence. Maybe we should just keep taking on more missionaries. And maybe we're going to get to the point where I'm going to start telling you with God's help and conviction that you and I need to start giving more to missions above and beyond our tithe. You watch what he does in this church, in this community, because of what you're doing in faith. Don't think it's got to be a big number when 10 seems impossible. He might only be calling you to $5 a month or week or whatever. What is he calling us to? I'll tell you this. He's calling us to something greater than ourself, and it can't be done unless he shows up. In my checkbook, in my calendar, in my schedule, in my heart, in my prayer times, in unexpected moments, I'm telling you, you and I have been called to be the living church. And it's not just exercising faith when hard times come into our life. It is also stepping up and saying, what do you have for me? What do you want to promise me? Why don't you promise me something? I'm going to believe you for it. Promise me something. You know, not in disrespect, but I dare you. Come on. Stir the Spirit. Don't just wait, the Spirit knows my address. He'll just kind of stir me up if he wants to. No, go stir up the Spirit. Go pester him. I give you permission on behalf of the Lord to go pester the Holy Ghost. You're like, oh, no, I don't know. I already said it. He's going to start showing up going, are you going to pester me? You going to pester me? You going to get up? We going to talk about this? Oh, don't think walking out the door is like walking out on your spouse, because I'm going with you. Oh, you think you can hide over there? I'm already there while I'm with you here. It is. We are called to be the living church. And the kicker's this. Without faith, I cannot please my master. I can do a lot of things. But if I'm not doing things in faith, I'm not pleasing him. Oh, my faithfulness with what he's given me, yeah, he's you know, content with that, in the sense that, hey, that's good. But where's the impossibilities? What's he calling you to? I'll tell you this, he's calling you to something greater than what you're doing right now. And I'm not belittling what you're doing right now. I'm hoping he's already called me to something that I think is great, that he would let me pastor and pastor here. And as great as this is, I'm hoping he has greater days for me here or doing something. It's his choosing. As much as I have affection for you, but like, what are you calling me to, you know, in faith here or wherever you're taking me? Come on. We belong to him. What's he calling you to? What impossibility is he calling you to step up to the line on that you're going to believe him? Go ask him, promise me something, give me something, call me to something. And if it's something that you're not real thrilled about and it seems small and you go, no, something bigger, you go do what he gave you. It's about obedience. It's not about how much sacrifice. It's about obedience. Say it. It's about obedience. Not about how much, I gave this much. Oh, I gave this much time. Oh, I gave this much money. Oh, I didn't want to do it and I did it. Oh, great is the sacrifice. No. It's about obedience. Faith and obedience. Traveling together. Embracing you. Leading you. Guiding you. Causing you to believe for the impossible and be excited about what he calls you to. Instead of having hesitancy of talking with your spouse about it, that you can show up and go, honey, you won't believe it. God called us to give an additional $250 a month. Instead of going, I don't know. I asked her for 10 bucks last week for coffee and I couldn't even get that. You know, God has called. What do you think? I think it's going to be tight. Yeah, but we could do it. God will deal to it. Honey, I think God's calling you and I to work with toddlers. I'm sorry, I'm not hearing that. Yeah, but I think, no. Maybe he's calling you to. I feel like he's calling us. Why don't you go pray, honey, for about 45 minutes just about that with the Lord? Isn't it worth a 45-minute prayer time to make a good decision? Oh, I forget the prayer. Oh, yes, I'll do it. What's he calling you to? I know I went late today, and I've got to leave. I've got to get to an airport in Minneapolis, but this is just so important this morning to me. Have faith. Please the Lord. Have faith. Trust him. Don't shrink back. Stand where you're supposed to stand. Do what you're supposed to do. And the words you speak, may they come into agreement with what you read and what he says to you and what he calls you to do and to become.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.